Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus Christ, and welcome to Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. We are a Christian internet ministry and church, and a local church as well. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're so glad that you were able to join us in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, the world may be in turmoil, but the kingdom of God is filled with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I pray that today, if you have not met the Lord Jesus Christ and have not received him as your personal Lord and Savior, that perhaps today will be the day for you. If you have not fully surrendered your life to him, I pray that today will become that day for you. If you have gone back from your original commitment to him and you are no longer zealous and on fire for the Lord, I pray that today will be your turnaround. If you have lost your way and wandered away from the things that you know are right and true and holy and righteous, I pray that today you will get a new insight and a new drive and a new persuasion to be committed to the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him so that he can direct your path. I pray that today, if you are a believer, a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know him as your personal Lord and Savior, that you will be encouraged to share the gospel with everyone that comes across your path, that you will not be hesitant nor ashamed, but that you will learn, as many believers before you have learned, to stand in truth. Amen? We serve a wonderful, miraculous, powerful, and majestic God, and he always comes to test us to see where we are. He knows, but we need to know. Amen? We need to know if we're really committed. We need to know if we're really standing our ground or just shaky. We need to know if we're willing to serve him no matter what. We need to see where we are. And so turbulent times will come so that we can see where we are, so that we can find out what's in our heart, so that we can know if we are truly committed to the Savior. Amen? You know, it was easy for people to be committed to the Lord when there was no trouble. But as soon as Jesus died on the cross and was buried in the tomb, then all the disciples had to deal with the situation. They had to figure out how they were going to respond. And many of them chose to respond in their emotions. They fled. They were scared. They didn't know what to do, where to go, where to run. So they found themselves this place, you see, this place of safety, so they felt, so they thought. And it was only the women that bothered to get up the next morning and go to the gravesite. They were the ones there. The men, well, you know where they were. They weren't there with them. They were somewhere else, hiding out. My, think of that. The men were hiding out. They ran away in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they were hiding out when Jesus was resurrected. They missed the immediate finding out that he had kept his word, his father had raised him from the dead. They missed that part because they were hiding out. So if you're a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you today not to hide out. Don't hide out in the dugout. Come on out of the dugout. There's no fun in the dugout. The fun is on the field, where the battle's being won. The field is when you finally come up to bat and it's your turn to hit a home run for Jesus. And you don't fail. You may swing a couple of times and miss, but on that last one, you knock it out the park. I want to encourage you today to quit running from your duty in Christ, but stand strong in times of turmoil. Amen? Make him proud of you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to those of you who are our first-time listeners. We're so glad that you joined us. However you heard about us, we love you in the name of the Lord. Amen. And we're going to enter into Holy Communion shortly. Indeed, we are. So we encourage you to get your elements ready so that you'll be ready to participate with us. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray first. We're going to have an opening prayer, and we're going to celebrate Holy Communion. Amen. God is reigning in our midst. Amen. Yes, he are. Yes, he is, because I've asked him to come and reign over us. And he wants to, and we want him to. Amen. Amen. Let's go before the Lord our God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and took upon himself all the sins of the world that we might have an opportunity for eternal life. Without such a sacrifice, without such humility, without such love and compassion and mercy, we would already be in a sinner's hell where we ought to be. But Lord, you reached out to us and you sent your very best, Father. You sent your only Son, sinless Son, to die for us that we might have an opportunity to have a true relationship with you and to reign in this life through one Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we want to thank you for the blood that covers us. We want to thank you for the word of God. We want to thank you for being filled with your word, gushing and overflowing, Lord, effervescent in the Lord. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan the strong man and all of his evil angels and all evil spirits and all demonic agents, all of his underlings, and we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and the workers of darkness and the heavenlies in the bush and in the deep. We bind murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, all kundalini attacks. We return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for all eternity. We take the territory in Jesus' name, and we bind every spirit that is coming to this territory that is not of Jesus Christ. We forbid it to remain in the name of Jesus. We send it into the spiritual cage and to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We command it to leave now. Father, we thank you for releasing your hosts, releasing your angels against every spirit that does not honor you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We bind all trafficking demons, all reporting, watchers, peepers, whisperers, familiar spirits, technology demons, Leviathan spirits, Kundalini spirits, water and marine spirits, sex devils, unclean spirits, passive devils, sorcery devils, seducing, womanizing, drone, whoredom spirits, and all their attacks. We bind all of your attacks and we return it to the demons now in Jesus' name. All voices of the stranger and their attacks. All hypnotic trance devils and their attacks. All mystic rituals and their intent. And we overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts, and we bind all Morgellons attacks and return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide We bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits, which take animal form. And we bind all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in the American culture. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog and the lord of the flies, and we place his agents under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all formations of bull flies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits. We bind Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order and the New Age movement, all false religions, numerology, horoscopes, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Jezebelic practices, Ahab practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos, and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, and the king of pride. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, and soulish sacrifices. We bind everything done in the groves. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and temptations to sin. Let the church say amen. Amen. We bind Baal, Beelzebub, Belial, Mammon, Apollyon, Zeus, Baphomet, Neptune, Python, Basilic, and Moloch. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, and we return their afflictions to the workers of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions. And we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. Lord, we come to loose the bands of wickedness, undo heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief, whom we serve and obey. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for all who are in authority and all true Christians. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. We lift up President Trump to you, his family, his faith, his prayer life, and all of his supporters. We forgive those, Lord, who have too much to say, things that they say that they should not have said, false accusations that they have made, lies that they have told, betrayals that they have performed. We ask you to forgive them as well, Father, and to bring them into correction, bring them into line with your scriptures. We thank you for your mercy and compassion toward the erring and the out of the way. the unbelieving, and the ignorant. And we give you praise, glory, and honor for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. For through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is who shall tread down our enemies. And from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we pull out all fiery darts, pins, needles, spears, and every act of voodoo done against us in Jesus' name. We bind every curse, and we return it wherever it came from in the name of Jesus Christ, for it does not belong to the righteous. Amen?
Amen.
We bind the devils in the heavenlies, in the bush, in the deep, and all of those spirits warring against God's host in the heavenlies. We bind your work against the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. We cut ourselves free from ungodly silver cords, ley lines, soul ties, attachments, agreements, oaths, and vows, and any and every connection with the demonic realm. We break the powers of and the works of all witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, shamans, and sorcerers in the name of Jesus Christ. And we bind their jinxes, potions, bewitchments, all the death and destruction, sickness, pain, and torment that they release. We bind their ungodly blessings, hoodoo, crystals, and root works, incantations, candle and incense burning, hexes, vexes, and spells, and all root works in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you set us free, and you set us free from the enemy. We pray for President Trump that he will allow you to heal the hurtful things that have occurred during the last 4 years of serving you. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, we declare that he has been healed. We're praying for you, Lord, to encourage President Trump and his family and supporters as we continue to stand for truth, your truth. We pray, Lord, for the peoples of the United States of America to return to the foundations of this republic, which Jesus Christ established in his holiness. We pray for all who have been disadvantaged because they have never heard the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give them a heart and ears to hear you. We are praying for all who are still clinging to the blood-stained banner of the cross of Calvary, that they continue to stand for there is no failure in our God. Amen? We are praying for God to bless America and the world with a revival of repentance and turning to the true Jesus Christ in holiness. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Well, Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you now. And we want to repent of our part in ungodliness and unrighteousness. Wherever, Lord, we have participated in those things that did not please you, and we have walked in ways that are sin, we ask for you to forgive us. Lord, we ask for you to sanctify our tongues and our mouths. We ask you, Lord, to teach us to love the way you love, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We want to thank you, Lord, for every time we got upset and we shouldn't have. You say, thank you, yes. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. We thank you, Lord, for showing us our weak places and our errors, and our faults and our failures, that we might come to you, Lord, to be healed, to be helped, to be saved, to be restored. We thank you, Lord, for every opportunity that you provide. So, Lord, we ask you to wash us clean in your blood. The Bible says, if we confess our faults and our sins before you, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We come before you to be cleansed, Lord. We thank you that you honor us with your love and with your patience and with your long suffering. For without it, Lord, we would fail. We thank you for the opportunity to be your ambassadors in this world. May we, Lord, give glory and honor to your name through our obedient and humble service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you have your elements, and I think you do by now, let's begin. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Partake of the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We thank you, Lord, for the blood. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or are dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Aren't we glad that we are not appointed to wrath? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Saint. I'm honored to still be on the planet. I'm even more so honored to serve the Lord and be in the kingdom. And I am even more honored to be your pastor. Amen. I never thought I would actually get to do this, but you know, Jesus doesn't tell lies. And when he lets you know that it's going this way for his glory, guess what? It's going that way. Amen. Well, today, the Lord says, stand for truth. Stand for truth. Not run away and hide and duck your head and run. That's not what he said. He said, stand for truth. It's interesting how many people, when given the opportunity to do just that, run away or capitulate or vacillate. You see, the Lord sent you into the earth realm and saved your soul because you are a witness of the truth. And witnesses take the witness stand and testify to the truth. Do they not? Are you sure about that? Well, since you've been called into the kingdom, you have met with the King himself, you have received him as your Lord and Savior. When your opportunity comes to witness on behalf of his truth, don't fail to do it. It's one of your purposes for breathing. Amen? This is why you're here. You're not here to see what color to paint your house. You're not here to figure out which brand of truck ought to be yours. Those are things you might get done, but that's not your purpose here. Your purpose here is not to make sure your cat or your dog have enough water while you're gone. That's not your purpose. Those are things that you accomplish while you're here. But that's not the reason the Lord sent you into a woman's womb to be born into the world. He had a plan and a purpose for you before you were ever conceived. You see, he knew you before you were conceived. He watched you being formed in your mother's belly. He already had the plan. All you need to do is surrender your life, submit yourself, and follow his plan for you. Amen? You need to learn to follow the Holy Spirit. You don't need to create your own plan. The plan's already been created. You just need to follow. Amen? You need to surrender. Open your heart to the Lord and let him draw you into the plan one step at a time. You don't have to figure out where you're going or what you're doing. If you follow him, you'll be in step. If you follow him, you'll be on time. If you follow him, you'll have the right acquaintances. If you follow him, you won't miss your appointments in life. You'll come across the right people at the right time to do the right thing in his name and to his glory. Amen? Amen. You need to follow the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ has called us to follow his example. He has called us to reflect his character, his love, his truth to people everywhere. Everywhere. Where is everywhere? Everywhere is at the gas station. Everywhere is at the grocery store. Everywhere is in Walmart. Everywhere is where you work. Everywhere is at the mailbox. Everywhere is at the stop sign. Everywhere is going down the interstate. Everywhere is when you knock on your neighbor's door because you need to borrow something. Everywhere is wherever you happen to be and whoever comes across your path. Everywhere is when you're at the checkout counter. Everywhere is when you're purchasing postage stamps. Everywhere is when your children wake you up out of your sleep to tell you they want something that you have not prepared. Everywhere is when your spouse is in the garage being grumpy and irritable because something is broken and he doesn't know how to fix it. That's everywhere. Everywhere is when your in-laws call and your wife is on the phone for 2 hours trying to settle a dispute that she has no part of. That's everywhere. Everywhere is when the cat takes off down the street running like it's after something important when you're trying to get in the car and go somewhere. That's everywhere. That's everywhere. Everywhere is when your boss comes in and ask you to do 4 more things and you haven't finished the first 2. That's everywhere. Everywhere is wherever you happen to be at any time. 2 a.m, Jesus wakes you up and says, pray. That's everywhere. But Lord, what am I praying for? Just pray. Get started and I'll take you there. That's everywhere. Everywhere is when the alarm clock does not go off when it's supposed to, and you're late and rushing out the door, and somebody comes to your door and wants to talk to you about something. That's everywhere. You see, everywhere is every day, Sunday through Sunday. We need to be available to the Lord Sunday through Sunday, Monday through Monday, Wednesday through Wednesday. All the time. Amen? All the time. Our Christian witness is of great value in a fallen society which has lost its way. They need to see that Jesus is real. They need to know that he is not dead, but yet alive in the world through his saints, his body, the church. The church is not a building. The church is not a location. The church is the soul, the people that he shed his blood on the cross for, that have received him and believe him and follow him as their God and Savior. That's the church. They need to sense his compassion, his greatness, his power, and his love. We are the vessel that he has chosen to use in this dark and destructive world. Let us yield our vessels to him as instruments of righteousness that his glory may be seen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs 3, chapter 13, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 17. And for those of you who are new, we exclusively use the King James Version of the Bible. Amen? We're all in one accord and in unity together. Amen? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 17. A faithful ambassador is help. A faithful ambassador is help. Help. Health is what you need when you're sick. And society is sick and diseased and ill and dying. Society, the world, the people around us are filled with sin and wickedness and destruction. Amen? Proverbs 13, 17. That's the wrong one?
Last part of the verse, part two.
A faithful ambassador is hell. Amen. Follow the pastor as she follows Christ. Amen. We're working on it, Lord. We're getting better at it. Amen. So, as I was saying, the world is sick. They're sick in the head, to tell you the truth. They're sick in the heart. They're sick in the body. They're sick in every way they can be sick. And we know that they are. We can tell. We've listened to them. We've heard them. And some of them live with us. And we know they're sick. But a faithful ambassador is health. Amen?
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing therefore, we know the terror of the Lord. We know that it's real. It's not a joke. So we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you an occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet not henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you are in Christ, raise your hand. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, and hath given to us, say to me, the ministry of reconciliation. Very good, church. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, say unto me, the word of reconciliation. Very good, church. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Say,
I am
an ambassador for Christ. Amen. Good, church. Though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You said, boy, Pastor, that was a lot. Well, let me give it to you like this. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And God came in Jesus Christ to reconcile you to himself. So now Christ lives in you. Allow Jesus Christ in you to use you to reconcile others to himself. All right? Amen. We must realize that God brought us back to himself through what Jesus Christ did. Not just what he did on the cross, but through everything that he did. Yes. Everything that he did. Jesus Christ was a child. He had parents. He obeyed his parents. He came subject to his parents. He had siblings. He dealt with his siblings. He understood and took up his father's trade of carpentry. He lived a regular life until it was time for his bar mitzvah. And at that time, the family took him to do what the family does. And as the family left, he was there left talking to people in a conference. He was having a conference with them. And he was discussing with them things that they didn't understand. And the family thought that he was still hanging out with the family, with his cousins and so on and so forth. And his parents turned around and said, you seen Jesus? No, I don't see him. You see him? No, I don't see him. Well, I thought he was over, and then they went to looking and couldn't find him. So they had to turn around and go back and find him. And when they found him, they said, we've been looking all over the world for you. And you know how parents act. And he said, didn't you realize that I must be about my father's business? You see, there's a time to be about our Heavenly Father's business, not just what's going on with us. Amen? Let us not forget that. And God has given us the privilege of urging everyone to come into his favor and be reconciled to him. For God was in Christ Jesus, restoring the world to himself, not to a religion, to himself. He was not restoring anybody to a religion. He was restoring the world to himself. We need to remember that. No longer counting men's sins against them, but instead blotting them out. Those of us that have ever had the privilege of using a fountain pen that has liquid running ink understand blotting out quite well. You write it in, and if it's wrong, you have to have a cloth to blot it right out because you need to make correction. Well, there was ordinances and ordinances of sins we had all committed, but Jesus nailed those things to the cross. And so now the blood could come and blot those things off our record. It's good to have a blotter. And when we receive the Lord as our personal Savior and the Lord and Master and ruler of our lives, our names were written in the book of life. But when we, in our stubborn rebellion and willfulness, march right out of the kingdom, he blots our name right out. And he says that he will do it. Jesus cannot lie. We want to keep our names written in. At least we ought to want that. Amen? We don't want to be blotted out. This is the wonderful message he has given to us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassador. Ambassadors don't just get all dressed up. They represent a kingdom when they go to a foreign land. And outside those doors is a foreign land, the world. We are in it, but we are not of it. Our citizenship resides with our Heavenly Father. We are pilgrims journeying through this earth. We need to remember this is not really our home. Our home is elsewhere, beyond the sky. God desires to use us, his body, his church, his saints in the earth. God is using us to speak to those whom he brings across our path, to say, I am pleading with you, just as though Jesus is standing here right now. Receive the love that he is offering to you, and be reconciled to God. That's what's on the plate, the love of God. For Jesus took my sins on Calvary. God poured the sins of the whole world onto Jesus. Then in exchange, God poured his grace into everyone who believes Jesus Christ, confessed him, and trusted him to save their soul. Don't ignore or bypass this opportunity. While his arms are wide open, waiting to receive you, to forgive you, and to cleanse you, today he is ready to save you. Will you be saved? See, we have something to say to people. This is what we should say. This is what we should say. We're not without words. It is the privilege and duty of the saint and follower of Jesus Christ to endeavor to live in such a way that no one will ever have just cause to be offended or kept back from coming to the Lord by the way in which we act. Amen? Boy, that was a quiet amen. so that no one can find fault with us and blame it on the Lord. Agreed? Amen. In truth, we do all that we do to show that Jesus really does live within us. Isn't that right? Amen. In the way we pass the salt and pepper. In the way we respond when something falls on our foot and hurts it. In the way we act when somebody takes something from us that we were about to use and they don't ask for it, they just take it. And the way we behave when somebody jumps in front of us and they knew better. And we know that they did. That's when it's time to let Jesus show through.
Amen.
Our fingers in traffic are wrapped on the steering wheel. They're not pointing in an irreverent way anywhere. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. There are positions on the steering wheel where we're supposed to have our hands. We don't have room for fingers to do other things. Isn't that right? Because we are obeying the laws of the land. Uh-huh, we're supposed to be. Uh-huh. Yeah, that sign. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to see if you can follow the blue sign that says I-75 and hit 75. That's not what that sign means. That sign means something else. Amen? When we roll up to that big red sign that says STOP, it does not mean slow turn on pavement. It means something else. Praise the Lord. When we see that yield sign, it does not mean anything with regard to our investment accounts or our checking accounts or our savings accounts. It means something different. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. See, you're a smart group of people. I know that you would get this. So we patiently endure insult and false accusations and hardships and sufferings of all kinds. And we don't return insult for insult, berating for berating, cussing for cussing. We don't do those things. Because everybody has got to see Jesus in us. So when our sibling comes to take our dessert from us and eat some of it, we don't reach over and take part of what they wanted. We don't do that, do we? No. Why? Because everybody has got to see Jesus in us. When there's someone that has worked hard in the kitchen to provide a meal, we don't slip it off of our plate and stick it in the dog's mouth under the table because we don't like what they prepared. We don't do that, do we? Why? Because we're appreciative and thankful to have anything on our plate at all. You see, everywhere is everywhere. Where we are ambassadors for the kingdom. Sufferings of all kinds. So it doesn't taste quite the way you wanted it to taste, or quite the way it ought to taste. It has a little too much pepper. We don't spit it in the person's face. That's not love. Amen? Praise God. And we compliment them on the meal, don't we? Amen. Praise God. We are kind and patient with everyone. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, them some quiet amens. We endure whatever is righteously called for.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We prove ourselves to be followers by our clean, wholesome, righteous lifestyle because we pick up our dirty clothes and we put it in the right place. We don't leave it there for somebody else to pick up or for the dog to play with. When people come to the front door, the dog is not running through the door carrying your soiled undergarments because they found them in the kitchen. We don't do it that way, saints, do we? Praise the Lord. I knew I was with the right group of people. We prove ourselves to be his followers by our clean, wholesome, righteous lifestyle, and by our confession of faith. It's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside, making a change in the life of all who call on his name for salvation. We are developing true and honest hearts like his. So when somebody says, well, I thought we agreed that we weren't going to spend but such and such money on such and such, you don't say something that's not quite the truth in response. Do you? Praise God. I know you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth by the Spirit of truth all the time, right? Praise the Lord. For all of us must stand before the throne of Almighty God to be judged and to have our lives laid bare and naked before him. We will each receive what we ought to receive as testified by what we have done in our earthly body. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we encourage others to open their hearts to Jesus Christ and invite him to come in. So as a result of this wonderful ambassadorship that we've been given, we love our enemy and we pray for them which despitefully use us and mistreat us, especially those who use every opportunity to ill-treat us due to the opportunity of family relationship or close association. Yes, they're coming over to your house to borrow their rent money because they spent it somewhere they shouldn't have been. You know they're coming. They do it every time. You've already tried the trick of pretending you're not home. Okay? So now this time, go in your prayer closet and do what you ought to do. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. See, I knew I was with the right people. So, are you one of those persons? Who has a close relationship with a child of God, a true believer in Jesus Christ, who is encouraging you in every way to know him and to give your life to Jesus? Well, if so, if you're one of those persons that an ambassador has come to you, then this is my recommendation to you. End your bitter resentments toward them. Stop ignoring their encouragements to you to seek out Jesus Christ. Instead, ask them to pray to the Father on your behalf. Ask Jesus to help them to help you. Stop being angry and hateful towards them, doing everything you can think of to spite them or to rid yourself of them. Those mean attitudes will not ever work in your favor. And God Himself is watching you and listening intently. You see, if God has so loved you that not only has He sent His only begotten Son, and not only has He recorded His words to you in the Bible, but He has sent you a human ambassador to reach for your soul, don't be ugly when they do. Amen? Ask Jesus Christ to reveal Himself to you, then thank Him. Thank the persons that God has sent to you to get your attention. Also, stop judging and evaluating Christians by what the world thinks about them or by what they seem to be like on the outside. Remember, God actually lives on the inside of them, and He's looking out at you. You see, true Christians stand true to the Lord and stand for His truth, whether others honor us or despise us, whether they criticize us or condemn us, whether they like us or hate us. We will not agree with the world nor Satan, lest we forsake the love that God has for us. We have decided to follow Jesus, and we refuse to turn back. The world says that we have a false narrative, that we are phony. They ignore us. But we are known to God. We are known to God. And who can stand against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? No one can, and no one will. So why are you trying to? All power, all might, all dominion and glory belong to Him alone. Who are you to withstand the Lord of glory? Victory belongs to Jesus Christ. So why put your selfish pride between you and Jesus Christ? Why risk living all of eternity in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is actually reserved for Satan and his evil angels? Why would you turn your back on true, unfailing, perfected love and acceptance? Why? What reason will you offer? Your sins have darkened and hardened your heart, but nothing can wash your vile sins away except the blood of Jesus Christ. God has promised to His believers, to those who follow Jesus Christ and love Him with all their heart, all their soul, all their might, and all their strength, that He will live in us and walk with us. He promises to be our God, and we are His people. With such a promise and many other wonderful blessings, we are turning away from everything that is wrong and wicked in His sight. We are daily being cleansed in our spirit and soul and body, and we are now living in the holy and reverent fear of God, giving ourselves solely to Him. Please open your heart to Jesus. He has not wronged you, but given His life on the cross for all of your sin and for the sin of the whole world. We must obey God above all else. Amen? We must obey God above all else. Everybody must learn this. Everybody must learn this. In Acts chapter 5, in the New Testament, Acts chapter 5, verse 29, Peter and the other apostles, and now the church, the body of Christ, says, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. Praise God. It's important. We are commanded by his gospel of divine love to witness to his truth and to stand for truth. We are not bound to obey secular laws which cause us to disobey or dishonor God. God comes first. Jesus Christ has the preeminence. Matthew chapter 22, verse 21. Matthew chapter 22, verse 21. Jesus said to those who questioned him the following: render therefore unto Caesar, or the government, the things which are Caesar's, or the government, and unto God the things that are God. The things that go to the government, give them what they are due. But the things that belong to God, worship and honor and reverence and praise, full and unswerving obedience, give those to God. It is our reasonable service. Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Render therefore to all their due. Give them what they're due. What is rightfully theirs, give it to them. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear or reverence to whom fear or reverence is due. Honor to whom honor is due. In other words, respect to whom respect is due. Our nation needs to go back and remember this scripture. Our children need to remember this scripture. Adults need to act like they already know this scripture. We are to respect those that are in authority. It's a commandment of our Heavenly Father. And because we love him, we choose to honor him with our humble obedience. And so we do whatever he commands us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Students should give due honor to their teachers and to the administrators. And parents should do that too. First Peter chapter 2, verse 17. First Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor all men. That does not mean male, it means mankind. No matter the person's statue or position in life, honor all. Yes. Even your little sister who nags you, honor all. Even your brother who took your favorite hair barrette and used it for something that a barrette was not meant to be used for, honor all. Love the brotherhood. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, love them. Love them. fear God. Reverence God. Honor the king, the president, the prime minister. Honor them. It's a commandment of God. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And God expects obedience. We recognize that God established human government for the good and protection of people everywhere. That's how government came to be. God himself established it. Just like God established marriage between one man and one woman for them to bring forth offspring. There is government in the home, there is government in society, there is government in the church. God established government. Our God governs. He is the king of all kings. He is a ruler, the great ruler. And all are subject to him. In Titus chapter 3, I think I'm going to turn there with you. Titus chapter 3. The Bible tells me, as your pastor, to remind you to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, government rulers, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, not to be a contentious brawler, but to be gentle and show gentleness unto all men. We will be subject to those who are duly elected and appointed officials of our government and be ready to do every good work. Why? Because this is what God said to do. Amen? In Romans, oh, yeah. Let me keep going before we get to Romans. We're headed there. We will speak evil of no man, but we will testify to the truth. We will not quarrel in unrighteousness, but we will proclaim Jesus Christ in his and his will in heaven and in earth. We will be gentle with those who are in error or ignorance, and we will not be disrespectful, but we will walk in the power of our God. Jesus Christ was not a pushover, and neither are we. It takes immense strength to innocently die for the sins of the whole world, and that is the strength that he calls us to walk in when we are persecuted, when people come against us, when they say all manner of evil against us, when they penalize us wrongfully, that is the strength that we are called to walk in. You see, they abused Jesus. They beat him for as long as they could. They showed him no mercy whatsoever. They pierced him with a sword through his side. They nailed him to a cross. They mocked him. They pulled out his beard. They spit on him. They formed a crown of thorns to shove into his skull. And he was strong in the face of adversity. This is the strength that the believer is called to walk in. Strength in adversity, knowing when to speak and when to be silent. When being persecuted, you can't open your mouth and be flippant. Jesus didn't do that before Pilate. There were times before Pilate when he said nothing. But there were moments before Pilate when he spoke. He waited to hear from his heavenly Father when to speak and when to be silent. The Bible says that if we don't bridle our tongues, our whole religion is vain. So under persecution, when you're in the fire, when they've come against you because you don't bow before their idol, and they throw you into the fiery furnace, what are you going to do? You've got to know where you stand, and you've got to choose to stand for truth. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't take forever to make up their mind. They said, whether God delivers us from you or not, we're not going to bow. That was the stand they took. What stand will you take? You see, this is not the hour for capitulation. It's not. You need to have a made-up mind if you're going to serve the Lord. You have to decide either you're going to stand for truth or you're going to fall for whatever they bring. This is that hour. This is that hour. And we have a whole host of examples in the Word that show you what they decided to do. They're in that great cloud of witnesses looking down on us now. And they're rooting for us to do the right thing. They're rooting for us. They're interceding for us. All your family members that have gone before you that are in heaven, they're praying for you not to quit, not to run, but to stand in faith. Don't let them down. Don't let them down. Don't let them down. You know, when they told Daniel what the decree from the king was, and that the king had sealed the decree with his ring, Daniel went home, he opened his windows, like he always did, and he prayed like he always did. He didn't back off, back up, or back down, and neither should you. And you know, they did it to set a trap for him. And so where did Daniel end up? In the lion's den. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. It does not say that the weapon will never be formed. It says it won't prosper. And that same king spent the night praying to God that Daniel would make it. He got up early in the morning to go see if Daniel's God had brought Daniel through. He cried out to him, Daniel. Daniel saluted the king. You see, the Lord had shut to the lion's mouth. And he'll shut your lion's mouth too. But you see, you have to be willing to go into the lion's den to find that out. You cannot get the victory hiding out in the dugout. The victory comes on the battlefield. So if you want to hang out in the dugout, you're never going to experience the victory that the old saints did. See, you got to come up to bat if you want to hit a home run. You can't do it hanging out in the parking lot. You got to go through what it takes. You got to go to all those practices. You got to do extra practice on your own. You got to get your swing right. You got to look right. You got to stand right. You got to get it all together, you see? And when your opportunity comes, you get to knock it out of the ballpark. You see, David had many smooth stones, but he didn't have to use but one. One was all it took. He came in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And he did what he'd been practicing to do all the time he was out with the sheep. He picked up his slingshot and one stone, and he did to Goliath, to the giant of his day, what he had already practiced on the lion and the bear. You see, you don't get the victory being out in the dugout like his brothers were. You get the victory on the battlefield. Whatever the battlefield of your life is, you must show up. You must show up. Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. Pay your taxes, and don't grumble about it. For they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Verse 7. Render therefore to all their due, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Verse 10. Well, we won't skip verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Even if they have barricaded themselves in the nation's capital. Amen. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. We're closer to the end. We're getting closer and closer to the time when Jesus' foot will touch the Mount of Olives. That day is coming. I've already been to the Mount of Olives once, but no, I've been four times. That's right, I've been four times. But yet, I've been four times. Yes, praise the Lord. However, there's going to be a day when Jesus' foot is going to touch the Mount of Olives, and nothing will ever be the same again. Amen. For we know that God rules in the kingdoms and governments of men. The heavens do rule. The heavens do rule. And as in the word of God, when governments and men walk contrary to the will of God, God will judge them. He is true to his word. He is true to his word. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning with verse 13. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning with verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Do you see that? There's a mouth that God doesn't like. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men. And as the scriptures declare in Daniel, we know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Jesus said in John chapter 19, some words, and I'm going to verse 10, I think. Yeah. Jesus was standing before Pilate. Jesus was standing before Pilate, and I'm going to start in verse 9. And went again into the judgment hall, Pilate did, and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? Underline this, saints. But Jesus gave him no answer. There is a time to be silent and a time to speak. Verse 10. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Verse 11. Jesus answered, it was a time to speak now. Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. From above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. That is the way it is, saints. And that is the way it is. We realize that the God of this world is Satan. But neither Jesus Christ nor true Christians are of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, Christians don't belong to this world. They belong to the kingdom of our God. Those who have not received him still have blinded minds. And Satan is still ruling over them. Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, okay, now this was the religious folk who were covetous. We still have religious people that are covetous today. Heard all these things, and they derided him. They had too much to say, insultingly so. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. You see, Christians don't belong to the world. We know that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And that's what we see happening in our world today. But in 1 Corinthians, God promises that he takes the wise in their own crafting. He takes the wise in their own craftiness. He promises to do so. In Jeremiah, he says that people aren't saying the right thing and that people are not repenting to him of their wickedness, saying, what have I done, Lord? Everybody's turned to his own course and his own way, and they rush forward as a horse into battle. So the Lord wants us to consider this while we're running off to do our own way without repentance to him. Luke chapter 16, verse 20. Luke chapter 16, verse 20. He wants everyone to seriously consider these words. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments plural, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You see, the rich man was in hell being tormented in the flame. But Abraham said, son, that meant Abraham had relationship with him. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. So then the rich man said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, send him to my family, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I've come to him, and now he understands that his whole family is coming right behind him. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them hear what the preachers are saying. Let them hear what the word of God says. But he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, Abraham said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Rise for the benediction. Father, we thank you for the awesome privilege, honor, and opportunity to be your ambassador. We pray that we will walk in your grace and reflect you to people everywhere. God, be merciful unto us and bless us. And cause your face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, and thy saving health among all nations. And the church said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you one and all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And on Wednesday, church, we're going to talk about the upcoming fast that the Lord has called us to. Those of you who were wise have already been in the MIC radio chat, and you have read part of what we will be doing. Next week, we will talk about the rest. Amen? Be prepared and go to the chat room weekly to see what God has to say. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Pastor loves you. And Jesus loves you too. Amen? Amen.
Oh.